but he doesn't move. Blood drips from the corners of his mouth. His fingers fall limp. Mazeli? The deep purple glow fades from his gaze. His eyes roll as he stumbles back. I see the strain of our combined magic, the great power that's eaten through his being. His hands go to his chest, and I feel his heart seize beneath my own ribs. Mazeli! I reach out for him when he falls, but the moment his body collapses, my own legs crumble. Chapter 55. Zeli. Kani! My voice is little more than a shriek as Kamaru carries us into the infirmary. The healers clear the area at once, making space to set our bodies down on the netted hammocks. Though I can barely lift my arms, I squeeze Mazeli's hand with the strength I have. The golden light of my tattoos flickers as his heartbeat slows and my own slows with it. The moonstone still connects our spirits. Without a blood sacrifice, we can't sustain the connection. Oh my God! Kani's face falls when she runs over to us. Blood stains coat her tangerine robes and white braids. She adjusts her spectacles before taking charge of the room. Yamina, water! Chibudo, fresh wraps! Obu, quick! I need all free hands! Idon tieje, jilati wo na relarada. Ogbe inu, dahon ipewa. The swarm of healers descends, their rhythmic chants bouncing against the ivy-covered columns. Kani and her healers channel their ashe into us, placing their hands over our heads, our hearts, our stomachs. But despite how hard they chant, our skin chills with every passing second. Our breath turns slow. The connection, Mazeli croaks. You have to break it. His waning life force pulls on my own, an anchor dragging me under the surface. But despite the growing pressure in my chest, I won't give in. I don't care about the blood I cough up. I don't care how much it hurts. The connection that's killing me is the only thing keeping him alive. We'll be okay, I fight to speak. Just hold on. Mazeli starts to seize, making my own body spasm. The healers struggle to hold me down as I thrash in the hammock. Despite how hard I pull, I can't draw breath. Mama Agba, I need you, Kani shouts. The seer's silver-clad body runs into the infirmary as my vision blurs in and out. Her wrinkled hands press against my chest. An ancient command only she can summon rings out.
Etu Sile!
It's like the same bolt of lightning that connected Mazeli and I strikes my heart. My back arches as my tattoos shine bright. Then the light disappears for good. My ears ring from the jolt. My stomach burns. But when I inhale again, my blood runs cold. I can breathe, but I don't feel him. Mazeli! I grip my heart, falling to the floor as I tumble out of the hammock. His body still spasms beyond his control. His skin feels so cold.
Etona Agbarayin!
I grab his hand. Ignite! Connect! But despite how hard I try to bind our life forces, my marks only flicker. My magic stays dead.
You're too weak.
Mama Agba grabs my shoulder, but I push her away. My vision goes black with rage. It's so strong, I can't see straight.
What have you done?
My voice echoes through the infirmary. But then Mazeli's seizing stops. My heart falls as he moans.
Jagun, Jagun.
His voice is so weak, a scratch of his usual shout. I have to clasp a shaking hand to my mouth to hold back the sobs. I'm here. I take his hands, kissing his cold fingertips. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. As the moonstone marks flicker against my skin, I see the violet life force around his limp body. Before it shone so brightly, now it fades before my eyes, a star that can no longer burn. Behind him, Kani lifts her hands and her face says it all. There's no saving him. The damage is already done.
The others?
Mazeli's lids flutter.
Did I? Are they?
They are safe. I fight the knife in my throat. Because of you, everyone is. Shimmering tears pool in Mazeli's brown eyes. I can't hold back my sob as he tries not to cry.
I don't want.
He starts to tremble, and I can almost see the terror flooding in. I pour away my tears and force iron around my heart. I can't cry when he needs me the most. This is just the beginning. I stroke his head the way Mama used to when I was young. You see your mother on the other side. You and Arunima will laugh again.
Oya too?
He squeezes my arm as tears spill onto his cheeks. I take his face into my hands and give him my brightest smile. She'll welcome her bravest soldier home with open arms. He tries to nod, but his face twists with pain. He coughs up blood again.
I'm not afraid.
Good. I rest my forehead against his. You are a soldier of death. You have nothing to fear. Every word I speak is like a blade cutting me from within. It's the arrow they shot into Baba's chest. It's being forced to rip out my heart and bury it all over again.
The Reapers, he speaks through his labored breath. Don't let them be sad.
His round eyes start to lose focus, despite how hard he fights to keep them open. Mazeli! I squeeze his hands tighter as his grip fades away.
Don't!
His eyes fall closed.
Be sad.
Chapter 56. Amari.
My thighs burn as I race up the steps to the Magi Sanctuary. All around I see what damage I've caused, the scars left from trusting Inan. Though the sanctuary remains intact, injured bodies lie across the first mountain stone paths and flat grass. Each elder's second struggles to keep people from crossing the bridges as healers tend to everyone who was injured.
For Yamoja's sake!
Now curses, when a healer pulls a thick shard of bark from her thigh. Sweat pours down her shaved head. Blood stains coat the Lagbara tattoo on her neck. In front of her, Kenyon lies unconscious, drawing slow but shallow breaths. Blood mats his white locks to his forehead as Naima shouts, struggling to revive him.
Zeli!
I scanned for her through the chaos, but she's nowhere to be found. I can't even find Mazeli. None of her reapers stand in the crowd.
You, I grab a healer's arm. Have you seen Zeli?
They had to take her to the infirmary.
His eyes go wide. She and Mazeli weren't breathing. I take off, sprint into the main tower. I race past the bodies at my feet. I push through all the healers in my way. Blood stains the stone steps of the tower, leaving a grim trail to the infirmary. I pray it isn't hers. If she's not all right, I'll never forgive myself.
No!
The howl stops me in my tracks. It doesn't even sound human. My skin crawls as it echoes through the hall, leaving me frozen outside the infirmary's swinging doors. Everything in me wants to stay out, but I force myself to walk inside the ivy-covered room.
Zeli! My legs go weak when I spot her frame, but then I see the source of her pain. Skies! My hands fly to my mouth. Zaylee hunches over Mazeli's battered body, her arms wrapped around his neck. The boy, who's usually bouncing off the walls, lies completely still. Blood drips from the corners of his lips. His gangly arms hang limp.
He'll do the right thing when it's easy, but when it matters most, he'll stab you in the back.
Zaylee's words echo through my head.
You can't trust him, Amari. All he leaves us with are scars.
Guilt eats me from within as I stare at a scar I know will never heal. She tried to get me to see the truth, but I chose to trust Inan.
Zaylee, you must rest.
Mama Agba approaches her, feet dragging with hesitation. Zaylee's sorrow forms a ring around her. No one else dares to get close as she howls. Zaylee doesn't respond when Mama Agba calls her name again, but when our seer lays a hand on Zaylee's shoulder, Zaylee snaps.
Don't touch me!
Her shriek pierces my ears like shattered glass. She pushes Mama Agba so hard, the elderly seer stumbles into a column.
He couldn't be saved!
Tears well in Mama Agba's eyes.
You would have died!
Then I die!
Zaylee yells back.
I should have died!
Her hands fly to her chest as her face twists with pain. She digs her nails into her skin, clawing as if she could reach her own heart.
I should have died.
Her voice goes quiet and she falls to her knees.
I should have died.
The world feels like it's falling out from under me. Because of me, Mazeli's dead. Because of me, we might have lost this war. We may have chased Inan's armies off today, but they'll be back with stronger forces. There's no place for us to hide. Every advantage we had is gone. Zaylee's sobs grow feral, forcing Kani to step in.
Sedate her,
the healer orders. Her body can't handle the strain. Zaylee thrashes like a wild animal as the healers close in. I have to run out of the room as their incantations ring. I can't take the sight of what I've caused.
I can't stomach the sound of her screams. Her shriek rings through the swinging doors, and I clasp my hand to my mouth to stifle my tears. I've ruined everything, and I don't know if I can fix it again.
Chapter 57. Inan.
It's never enough. The simple truth is a sword through my abdomen, a spear in my heart. As I stare at the carnage outside the Iyika's base, my hand trembles around the bronze coin. This was supposed to be the place where we brokered peace. Instead, we can't even count our dead. I thought we had them. Ojore's jaw quivers, and he has to look away. Mother takes him in her arms, shielding him from the slaughter. Bodies lie in the remains of the jungle. The rolling hills are now battered mounds of dirt. Every colossal tree lies ripped from its roots. Jokoye's body still hasn't been recovered. I've been training my titans. The general's last words to me return. The next time we face the Iyika, we'll be ready for their games. We'll annihilate those traitors where they stand.
I hang my head, crossing a fist to my chest to honor Jokoye's spirit. She gave everything to this kingdom, everything to protect its throne. The general was supposed to be our secret weapon, a force even Zaylee couldn't beat. Her strength was the only reason I felt powerful enough to enforce peace. But what kind of peace could last when our enemy is capable of this?
I don't want to be crass, Mother says to me, but there is no time to mourn. We can't give the Iyika a chance to regroup. If they retaliate in Lagos...
Her voice trails off, but she doesn't need to speak the words. It only took moments for the jungle to become a wasteland. If this had been a city, thousands of civilians would have died in our fight. Duty before self. I whisper the vow. If Father were here, that's what he would yell now. This war has spun out of control. Soon there won't be an Orisha left to protect. I wanted to be a better king, but after all that's passed, there are no more options. It doesn't matter if I didn't sanction this attack. Any hope of peace lies with my dead on this battlefield. Duty before self. I squeeze the bronze coin. Duty before self. The next time we meet, there will be no reconciliation, only complete annihilation. One victor shall stand at the end of this war. One ruler shall sit on my throne. I can't hold back anymore. I have to take out the Iyika, no matter what it does to Amari and Zeli. This war ends with me.
Summon the rest of our soldiers. Mother turns to Ojore. We'll lead another assault while they're down.
No, I shake my head. As long as they're united, they'll defeat us all. It doesn't matter how many soldiers we have. I close my eyes and try to visualize our next moves like pieces on a Senate board. We need to weaken them beyond repair, divide, conquer, and then force their surrender. How do we do that? Ojori asks. I look down at the bronze piece, picturing Zeli's face. For an instant, I thought we had a chance to move beyond all this pain. Now I know that day will never come. By using the one thing Amari and Zeli hate most, I answer. Me.
Chapter 58. Zeli.
Don't be sad.
Mazeli's voice still echoes in my head. Silent tears run down my face, falling onto the bathroom tiles of my elder quarters. My ribs ache as I cradle my chest, struggling to draw breath. After 3 days, the world has still lost its color. Mazeli's blood still stains my skin.
Zeli. I freeze as Zane's voice bleeds through my bedroom door. I clasp a hand over my mouth, trying to stifle my strangled breaths. The sanctuary assembly's starting, he says softly. The elders are asking for you.
I don't care. I look away. Just go.
With the sanctuary's location exposed, everyone stays on high alert. But I can't see or do anything beyond how much I hurt. All we do is fight and fight and fight. What's the point when our people only die?
Don't be sad. I whisper Mazeli's last words. Don't be sad.
My legs shake as I drag myself to my feet to face the copper bathtub that spent hours waiting for me. I dip my fingers into the cool water, but the air around me thins. It happens every time I try to wash away the last remnants of him. Damn it! My hand flies to my throat as the guilt suffocates me. The bathroom starts to spin. It's like all the air's been sucked out of the room.
He could have lived. He should have lived. It was my duty to keep him safe, but I failed. Now I have to live with the weight of my mistakes.
Soft knuckles rap against my bedroom door. A painful spasm erupts in my chest when it creaks open.
Go away! I wheeze.
I can't have Zane see me like this. I crawl across the floor, trying to shut the bathroom door. But before I can, a bandaged hand props it open.
I don't know if I can trust my eyes when its owner walks through.
Rowan, I whisper.
Black waves hang from the mercenary's head, clumping along his square jaw. He kneels on the tiled floor and places calloused hands on either side of my face.
What are you?
Don't talk, he interrupts. Breathe. My eyes water as I fight to inhale. I curl forward when another spasm erupts in my chest. Look at me. Rowan brings my face to his, firm yet tender in his grip. But I don't want to meet his eyes. I don't want anyone to see how broken I truly am. Just look at me. His voice drops to a whisper. It's okay. It feels like pushing two mountains apart with my bare hands. But staring into his eyes, I manage to open my throat. Rowan's touch softens as I inhale, sucking in a feeble, strangled breath. That's it. He moves his thumbs back, stroking the skin behind my ears. I stare at him, gasping, until all the air in the room returns. What are you doing here? I ask. The ache in my chest magnifies as Rowan pulls me up and sits me down on the bathtub's edge. The elders summoned me. A lot of them pulled together every resource they had just to hire me to help. He grabs a rag and cups my cheek, gentle as he wipes away the blood and dirt coating my face. I close my eyes and lean into him, inhaling his honeyed scent.
He's gone.
My lips tremble as I speak the words. It sounds so strange to say it out loud. I only met Marzelli 2 moons ago. I don't know how he burrowed himself into my heart. I never had a second. Rowan wrings out the rag. But I had a partner. The day I lost her is still the worst I've ever had. He keeps his voice even, but his words don't hide his scars. It's strange to see this much of him, to peer into the heart he pretends not to have. How'd you meet her? A small smile rises to his pink lips, but it doesn't last long. She found me digging through trash. That girl practically dragged me out of the dirt. She'd probably still be alive if she'd just let me starve. New tears well in my eyes and I have to turn away. I wonder where Marzelli might be if we hadn't met. If I'd escaped across the sea. I never wanted this war, this clan. After Baba died, I didn't want anyone or anything. I just wanted to be free. I have to get out of here. I shake my head, pawing away my tears. Out of the sanctuary. Out of the kingdom. It feels like a betrayal to utter the words, but I can't lie to myself. I was a fool to think that freedom lay on the other side of this war. The only thing I can count on is disaster and death. It follows me everywhere I go. Staring at the red bathwater, I know I can't keep doing this. I can't keep burying the people I love, I whisper. Rowan's hand hovers over my cheek as he digests my words. He avoids my gaze, dipping the rag into the water before moving to the blood on my hands. Is that really what you want? I nod, and Rowan looks down at the floor. If you really want to go, now is your best chance. I tilt my head at his coded message. How do you know that? I can't say more. As he brings the rag to my arm, I stop him by grabbing his hand. Talk, I demand. What do you know? Chapter 59. Amari.
I have to make this right. My chest aches as the entire sanctuary gathers on the third mountain. Though Mazeli was the only Magi killed in the attack, every space feels empty without his laugh. His death hangs like the gray clouds below. The elders move to the center of the bloodstone. It feels like a sin to stand among them. Every day since the attack, I've waited for the truth to come out, for people to punish me for my mistake. But Zeli still hasn't revealed how the monarchy discovered our base. I don't know why she's protecting me.
We have to make a choice.
Nao raises her voice over the unruly crowd.
The sanctuary is exposed. It's too dangerous to stay here.
Where are we supposed to go?
Naima asks.
No place in Orisha is safe.
We don't go anywhere,
Kenyon shouts.
We fight.
I look up as Zane joins the last of the Magi walking across the stone bridge. When he catches my eye, he shakes his head. I worry Zeli will never leave her room again. I have to find a way to win this war, now more than ever. If I can't, Mazeli will have died for nothing. There will be no point to our pain and suffering.
This started in Lagos.
Kenyon riles up the crowd.
It ends there too. We keep pretending we're defenseless, but we held off the royal forces with the Moonstone. We know what we have to do.
Zeli won't use that power again,
I tell them.
Not after what happened to Mazeli.
Why does she get a choice?
Kenyon asks.
Someone drag that girl out of her room.
Zane's nostrils flare as he breaks from the ring of people around the bloodstone and storms toward the center. I run to intercept his path.
Don't.
I put my hands on his chest. It'll only make things worse.
Have some compassion,
he shouts over me.
She lost her second. I lost a quarter of my clan,
Kenyon yells.
I didn't get to sit around and mourn.
So many arguments break out at once. It's impossible to keep track. I close my eyes, attempting to block out the noise. We can't stay here, but we can't blindly attack. The next time our forces meet Inans, we have to be precise. Only one of us can survive.
What are you thinking?
Zane asks. I lift my hands and stare at the scars left from my magic. I can almost hear Father in my head, whispering the words he tried to embed in me as a child. I've had the power to end this all along. I just didn't want to use it against the people I love. But now, I have no place to run. Orisha waits for no one. If I can surround myself with enough connector titans, I think I can take Mother down.
No, Zane takes my hands. It's too dangerous to face her on your own.
Who else can challenge her?
I ask.
Who else can suck the life from Inan's veins?
I close my eyes, replaying my mistakes. All these years I thought Father was a monster. But what if ruling this kingdom forced him to act that way? War is a race to the death, and right now, Mother and Inan are winning. I push past Zane, walking into the center of the circle. I can't allow any more of our blood to spill. I need to end the war, at any cost.
I have an idea!
I raise my hand, quieting the circle. But before I can speak, a voice rings out from behind me.
Wait!
All eyes turn to Zeli as she comes sprinting out of the Elder Tower. Her purple kaftan flies behind her as she runs. Blood still mats her white coils. My face falls when she catches my eyes, but she doesn't linger on me before addressing the crowd.
We don't have to fight.
She holds up her hands.
There's another way out of this war.
Chapter 60. Zeli. My palms grow slick with sweat as I prepare to address the Magi. The elders stand in a broken ring around me. Zane moves between me and Amari. My throat dries as I look at her, but I keep her role in our attack to myself. I can't deal with her now. I don't have much time. I can smell the Magi's bloodlust from here. Their desire to run right into battle. But the information I squeezed out of Rowan creates a choice we've never had. For once, we don't have to fight. We can live beyond this war zone.
The king isn't in Lagos, I shout. He's hiding in Ibadan. The monarchy is expecting us to march on the palace and exhaust our forces in the wrong location. They plan to annihilate us when we're divided.
What does that mean? Now's forehead creases. We go to Ibadan?
We shouldn't take the bait, I respond. We should take the opening.
I ball my fists, steeling myself for their reaction. It would be so much easier to run, to slip away in the middle of the night. But the thought of Mazeli forces iron into my spine. He would never leave the Magi behind. Neither can I.
If the monarchy's forces are split between Ibadan and Lagos, we have a clear path to safety.
I address the crowd.
We can break for Ilorin's coast. Sail beyond Orisha's borders.
You can't be serious. Now stumbles back. You want us to run?
No, I shake my head. I want us to live.
I'm not prepared for the flood of anger that is hurled my way.
You just going to let the monarchy win? This is our home. Where would we even go?
What about the rest of the Magi?
How do I get them to see the truth? That there's more beyond this endless fight. What's the point of staying here if we know we can't win?
I'm not leaving.
Kenyon stomps forward, taking charge of the opposition.
I don't care if you lost your second. Burners don't run.
Then you'll die. I march up to him, meeting his fury head on. Who knows how many more centers the monarchy has? After this last attack, they know exactly where to find us.
Then let them find us,
Kenyon shouts, a battle cry others rally behind.
Let them come to our walls again. Let them try to capture us.
Do you know what happens when they catch you?
Silk brushes against my skin as I yank my kaftan over my head, exposing my back to the world. A collective gasp runs through the crowd the moment I reveal my scars. My cheeks burn with shame, but I refuse to hide my pain. They have to understand that there is no winning this fight. Only bloodshed awaits us in a kingdom that will always see us as maggots.
Our enemies have no honor, I say, no restraint. When they find us, they will carve through our bodies. They'll destroy us from within.
As I pull down the kaftan, I find Mari and Bimpe in the crowd. The sight of them pushes me on.
I made a vow to protect my clan. This is the best way I know how. I can't keep fighting.
I lift my hands.
I can't keep losing the people I love.
Heads hang in the face of my words. For a moment, the entire mountain stays silent. Even Kenyon backs away, returning to the circle of elders.
But this is our home.
Kamaru steps forward, deep voice shrunk to a whisper. More than confusion, more than rage, he offers his heartbreak. I know he speaks the pain none of us want to face. When the elders built this place, it was only bare mountaintops. I look to the crowd. It didn't become a home because they filled it with towers. It became a home because they built it together. This land, these temples, they are not what matter.
As long as we have each other, we will carry Orisha in our veins. No one can ever take that away.
I hold my breath as I wait for the elder's response. The whispers start to shift in the crowd. I can almost see the acceptance I crave. But when Amari walks forward, her face lights up. I can almost see the new idea take hold in her mind.
Zaylee's right,
her voice echoes in the silence.
This is the only chance we might have to escape. But it could also be our chance to win.
What are you doing? I grab her arm, pulling her until we're face to face. My body still shakes at the sight of her, but I don't look away.
Don't do this. I tighten my grip. Please.
Amari presses her lips into a hard line. Her gaze settles on my hand. She exhales a long breath and closes her eyes.
I'm sorry, but I can't abandon my home without a fight.
Amari, no!
I try to hold on. This bloodshed has to end.
But she pulls herself out of my grip. The entire mountain hangs on her silence as she turns to face the crowd.
For once, we have the upper hand,
she yells.
We can work around their tricks. We don't need to march to Lagos to take down the entire army. We just need to take out the king.
Her words run together as her excitement builds and she soaks in everyone that holds her gaze. I can almost see the glint of a crown in her curls.
Why run?
She throws up her hands.
Why risk the dangers that lie in the unknown when we can avenge the death of Mazeli and fight for our home?
My body goes numb as Amari turns the tides before my eyes. Rumbles echo from all around. Even my reapers latch onto her call for vengeance.
Let us rise!
She punches her fist into the air.
Let's band together and end this war. Together we can win. Ba-ng-kan-wa-pada!
The Yoruba is slick on her lips, but it does the trick. The cry ripples from Magi to Magi until the entire mountain shakes.
Ba-ng-kan-wa-pada! Ba-ng-kan-wa-pada!
I sink to the bloodstone as my ears ring with the sounds of war.
Ba-ng-kan-wa-pada!
Take back what's ours.
Chapter 61. Amari.
The next few hours pass in a blur. Everyone comes together with new purpose, energized by the chance to win this war. With Zaylee against our attack, command of the Iyika falls to me. My head spins as we sit in the dining hall, using every magi at our disposal to hammer out the final details.
I say we take everyone who can fight and storm the village.
Kenyon slams his fist on the table.
Nahanda's probably with the king. We'll need every magi we can get.
You can't storm Ibadan,
Naima retorts.
It's sequestered in the mountains.
And if we storm the city, we lose our biggest advantage, I remind him. We don't want Inan to know we're there until it's too late for him to stop us. Out of instinct, I wait for someone to push back, but they accept my every point. Every elder takes a moment, brainstorming stealth-based alternatives.
What if we only attack with the elders?
Kamaru asks.
Most of their soldiers are still outside of Lagos. We don't need a massive force.
I nod. Sneaking in 10 people would be far easier than sneaking in 100.
Are we sure there will be 10 of us?
Naima purses her lips and all eyes fall on the empty seat. I haven't seen Zaylee since she walked off the bloodstone. I don't even know if she plans to fight. A blush rises to my cheeks, but I force myself to move on. Would the Iyika follow my command if they knew Zeli's heartbreak was my fault? If we're only taking the elders to Ibadan, then our seconds should guide everyone else toward Lagos, I decide. We can keep them away from the fight while making Inan think we're taking his bait.
I'll take care of it.
Kamaru rises and a small weight lifts off my shoulders. After what happened to Mazeli, I don't want any other Magi in harm's way. At least this way, they'll stay safe. What about the villagers? Kani presses. They could still get caught in the fight.
Or worse.
Jahi stares at the table.
The king and queen could use them as shields.
My throat dries as a tense silence falls over us. I feel the part of me that wants to argue that Inan wouldn't sacrifice his people. But I no longer believe it. He and Mother don't care who they hurt. They'll hurt anyone to win this war.
We should consider alternative plans.
Jahi speaks slowly, treading with care.
The same mountains keeping the king safe also lock him in a cage. We don't need precision to win.
We're not like them. I cut Jahi off before he can go any further. We can take them out and keep the villagers safe. We just need an undetectable way in. My gaze drifts back to the stool where Zeli should sit. She and Zane grew up in Ibadan, but I can't imagine she'll help when she doesn't want us to go at all. Zane! I wave him over from across the dining hall. He takes a break from loading supplies with Imani, Kani's twin, and our strongest cancer.
What's going on?
He looks around the table and I gesture for him to sit down. None of us have been to Ibadan, but we need a way to get in undetected, I explain. Is there anything you know that could help us? Zane's lips part. It's like a shadow falls over his face when he realizes who's missing. A bitter taste settles on my tongue. It feels wrong to put him in this position. If it's too much.
You're trying to win a war.
He holds up his hand.
I'll do whatever I can to help.
We lock eyes across the table and my skin warms under his gaze. Zane blows out his cheeks as he stares at the crude maps, searching for a way in.
Here.
He points to the lake north of the village center.
Zili and I used to swim here all the time when we were children. Go deep enough and you'll reach the underwater caves.
How far out do they go? I ask.
Find the right one and you'll be able to sneak in from outside the mountain range. I can show you the way.
It takes everything in me not to fling my arms around Zane's neck. The tightness in my chest begins to dissipate as the final pieces of our plan fall into place. Kamaru can tunnel us through the mountain, now can take us through the water. For the first time since my rally went wrong, victory hangs just beyond my fingertips. All I want to do is lunge forward and grab it. We all work together until every detail is confirmed. By the time we solidified our plans, the sun has set on our final night in the sanctuary. A solemn air hangs over the dining hall as people prepare to say goodbye.
What now?
Now asks. Summon Mama Agba. I rise from the stone table. I have an idea. It only takes an hour to prepare the dining hall. Kamaru creates a stone stage as Dakarai sets up batter drums. Folake and her lighters make twinkling orbs float through the room like stars while the young diviners lay out the rest of the sanctuary's food. The sweet aroma of shuya and egusi soup drifts into my nose as I move through the crowded hall. The excited chatter dies down when Mama Agba limps to the center of the room.
This sanctuary has stood nearly as long as the magic of our land.
Mama Agba says,
it has seen every elder since the beginning of time. It has served as the beating heart of the Magi. When the monarchy attacked, you defended these sacred walls. You have made every one of your ancestors proud.
Her words rouse a few cheers from the crowd. Mama Agba smiles to herself as she takes in the faces that fill the hall. Though I know not to expect much, my heart falls when I don't see Zeli in the room. This is bigger than her, I remind myself. I can't fight for my friend over the fate of Orisha.
These past few moons have been far from easy. You have been pushed more than ever before. But because of you, we have a chance. Because of your spirit, we can still win this war. We will bring our people the freedom they deserve.
I close my eyes and imagine the sight, what our victory will taste like. When my family's gone, Orisha will have a chance at peace. Perhaps the first chance it's ever had. We've proven we can come together, and under our leadership, there will be a place for every Magi, Titan, and Kosidan. We just have to pull this off. One attack, and this kingdom is ours.
Tomorrow, our elders set out on a path to make sure no life was lost in vain. We shall honor each valiant sacrifice by creating a kingdom where those with magic can reign.
In the back of the room, Nao and her second chant in unison. Using magic, they lift liters of palm wine from thick barrels and pour the sweet drink into tin cups. Tahir and the other welders start to chant, distributing each cup through the crowd. One floats into my hand, just as Mama Agba raises hers in the air. When the dozens of cups meet her toast, I feel everything we've been fighting for. In my Orisha, we will craft sanctuaries throughout the land. We shall gather and celebrate as one.
You have done all you can to prepare. The rest lies in the gods' hands. Tomorrow you fight.
Mama Agba tips her glass.
Tonight, you live.
Chapter 62. Amari. Within hours, music and laughter bounce against the sanctuary walls. Palm wine runs free. Naima's rich melodies fill the dining hall as she sings. I smile to myself as I lean against a table, taking in the bodies that fill the dance floor. If I breathe in hard enough, I can almost smell the sweet scent of hope that fills the air.
Come on!
Nao nudges me from the side, radiant in a long blue dress.
It's your party, for God's sakes! Grab a cup of wine!
She snaps her fingers and a welder floats a tin cup into my hands. She knocks our cups together, throwing her arm around my neck.
To victory!
She shouts.
To victory!
I repeat. I take a sip, enjoying the way the word tastes on my lips.
If I decide to let you be queen, you better throw more celebrations like this.
Though she jokes, her words catch me off guard. Up until now, Zeli's the one they've wanted on my throne.
Naima!
Music draws to a halt as the loud scream echoes through the hall. I jerk forward, ready to fight, when Kenyon barrels his way through the crowd. His locks spill onto his bare chest. He falls to his knees before the stage.
Naima! I love you!
For God's sakes! Naima hides her face in her hands as the snickers ring through the crowd.
Kenyon, you're drunk! I know, but it's still true! Mofi awon Orisha Bura!
Naima stomps down from the stage as the music resumes. She starts to yell, but then Kenyon pulls a battered bouquet of sunflowers from his belt. Even she can't help but smile. Now throws her head back at the scene, cackling with laughter.
"You've done good work," she urges me on. "Have some fun."
I wait for her to disappear before setting my cup down. Father wouldn't drink before battle. Neither can I. More memories of him fill my mind as I drift through the crowd. I wonder if he would be proud of what I've done, the ruler I've become. I sense something. I stop as I stumble into a group of people gathered around Mama Agba. She sits in a colorful tent while Folake generates twinkling lights behind her head. People smile as Mama Agba lifts her chin, peeking out at the crowd through a poorly hidden squint.
"Why, I sense a great and powerful elder has entered my presence."
Every eye falls on me and my cheeks heat. I try to move along, but others force me into Mama Agba's tent.
"Come, Elder Amari."
She takes my hand in both her own.
"Let me search what the stars have in mind for you."
I can't hide my laughter as Mama Agba shakes and shimmies like the false prophets that fill Lagos' streets. Her hands arc in broad sweeping motions, dancing around Folake's rainbow lights. Though she can't cast real incantations anymore without putting her health at risk, she gives us the next best thing.
"You have great battles ahead," Mama Agba nods. "Great victories, too. And, oh my, I'm seeing something else."
"Tell us, Mama Agba,"
a diviner demands. "What is it?" I play along.
"I see great love."
She winks at me as someone approaches from behind. I glance up and Zane's smile steals the air from my lungs. Jeers ring as he takes my hand, leading me away from the crowd. Naima's soulful voice croons over our heads as we move to the dance floor.
"Orumi, Ifemi, Emimi."
Kani harmonizes with the tema's rich tones. Together they sound like songbirds. Zane laces his fingers with mine and we sway, getting lost in the song. I place my head against his chest, disappearing into the warmth of his arms.
"I've missed this."
Zane dips his chin and kisses the top of my head. He places his hands along my waist, making my skin tingle when his thumbs brush a sliver of bare skin.
"I have too," I whisper, closing my eyes.
Dancing with him takes me back to the fields of the Diviner Festival, back when it felt like tomorrow was ours. I look up at him, and he stares at me with a tenderness I don't deserve. It's then that I realize I don't want to spend tonight with prophecies and palm wine. Tonight, I want him.
"What's wrong?"
I lace my fingers through his and pull him toward the door. "Come on, let's get some air."
"When you said air?"
Zane laughs as I push open the door to my quarters. I grin and take him by the hand, stepping into the cool breeze that passes over the balcony. We slip our legs through the bars, dangling our feet over the curved ledge. Staring out at the sanctuary makes something deflate in my chest. I'm going to miss this place. It's strange to admit after all that's passed inside these walls. Since the day we arrived, I don't know if there was a moment I didn't feel ostracized. But for all that went wrong, this place was still home. It kept us safe. It's where I found my voice, where I found the path to my throne.
"There's been so much,"
Zane brings a fist to his mouth and coughs.
I just want to say I'm proud of you. I don't think you hear that enough.
My hands move before my mind can catch up. I grab the sides of his face, pulling it to mine.
Ow!
I groan when his chin collides with the bridge of my nose. Zane grabs his belly and falls back with laughter.
Skies, my queen, I never pegged you for such an animal.
Shut your mouth, I smack his arm as my ears heat. How can I lead a battle if I lack the coordination required for one measly kiss? Zane takes my shoulders and guides me down to his chest.
Here, he murmurs, let me help.
My fingers curl the moment his lips meet mine. I sink into him, tasting the sweet remnants of palm wine. But as he runs his hands through the waves in my hair, a pit of guilt sinks into my stomach. While we sit here, Zale is probably floors above, grief-stricken and alone.
Where'd you go?
Zane asks. I blink as he pulls away. I pick at a hole in his tunic, not wanting to meet his eye. Do you think Zale will ever forgive me?
If my lips are on yours, can you try not to think about my sister?
I smile as Zane touches my cheek. I'm sorry. I just hate knowing how much I've hurt her.
She needs time,
Zane sighs.
Space. But you're doing the right thing. Not just for her, for Orisha. The kingdom you're going to build is something that needs to be fought for, even if she can't fight anymore.
He takes my hand, and it erases the entire world. My stomach flutters when our lips meet. His stubble scratches my chin as I press into him. I think of how many times I've imagined this moment, imagined being here with him. My pulse races as I slip my fingers under the hem of his tunic, but Zane stops me, grabbing my wrists. Am I doing something wrong? I ask. Zane shakes his head, staring at the lines in my palm.
I don't want you doing this just because you're scared.
Scared of what? I pull my hands back.
Dying.
He looks the other way, and I exhale. That word is a tidal wave, washing away every escape he brings. The battle ahead of us taints the air as we sit back up.
I'm sorry.
Zane pinches the bridge of his nose.
I didn't mean to ruin the moment, but I can't let you do that. I care about you too much.
You have nothing to apologize for. My heart warms as I press my nose to his cheek. But you're wrong. I'm not scared. At least not right now. Zane tilts his head and I put my hands on his cheek, staring into the haven that lies in his warm brown eyes. I think of every moment we've had since we first met, the way he fought for me when I was only a princess. Zane, I don't want to be with you because I'm afraid of dying. I want to be with you because I love you. I smile. I feel like I always have. With a courage that doesn't feel like my own, I rise to my feet. My fingers fumble as I remove my tunic and release the band of my skirt. He stares when both fall to the floor.
Say it again,
he demands. Say what? I ask.
You said you love me.
He rises to meet me.
Say it again.
My smile spreads so wide it makes my cheeks hurt. I love you.
One more time.
I love you, I repeat.
I don't think I caught that.
Zane, I love you. I speak through my laughs, giggling when he lifts me into the air. It feels like I'm floating as he carries me inside and lays me on the bed.
He kisses me, and every single restraint melts away.
I love you too.
His lips brush against mine with every word. The moment I feel his touch, I pray it never ends. Chapter 63. Zeli.
As I stand outside the dining hall doors, I wonder why I bothered to show up. Inside, the halls are filled with drink and song. In the face of Mazeli's death, it feels wrong. It's hard not to hear his giggle through the crowd, to picture the way he would shimmy up and down the hall. He always lit up when someone cooked suya for dinner. If he were here with me, he'd probably eat too much and throw up.
Don't be sad. I close my eyes, wishing I could take his advice. I know he would want me to walk in. He would hand me a cup of palm wine. We would laugh and dance, and he would declare his future as the greatest reaper to ever live. He was so ignorant of how great he already was.
You should join them.
I freeze at the sound of Mama Akbar's voice. As her staff thuds near, my throat closes up. I haven't seen her since that day in the infirmary. I don't want to see her now.
If not for yourself, go for your reapers.
Her words carry a new rasp.
They are still here, Zeli. They still need you to fight.
When I don't react, Mama Akbar places herself between me and the door. I have to turn my head away. I still can't bear to look her in the eye.
Can we talk?
Her voice shakes.
I have a special bench in the gardens.
I don't care about anything you have to say.
Zeli, I am sorry.
Tears spill between the wrinkles in her cheeks. I hate how much it hurts to see her in pain. How much I want to take it away.
There was no saving him, she pleads. Without a sacrifice to bind your connection, you both would have died. I need you to understand.
I understand. I step away. I know why you did what you did, but I know I could have saved him. I can't forgive you for taking away that chance.
Zeli, please.
I ignore the tightness in my chest as I turn my back on her.
I should have died that day, I say. Just pretend that I did.
Mama Akbar sobs, and it hits me in the heart. I've never heard her cry like that. I nearly run away from her tears as I move up the stairs toward my quarters. Leaving my room was a mistake. There's nothing for me out here.
You're back.
I look up to find Rowan sitting outside my bedroom door. Two thick bags hang from his shoulders, clinking as he rises. He gestures for me to grab the smaller one.
Let's go,
he says. I roll my eyes and brush past him. I'm going to bed.
No, you're not.
He follows me into my room.
I need your help.
Rowan, please, not tonight, I beg.
You get to ask for my help whenever you want, but the moment I need something in return, you're too tired?
I glare at him and he smirks.
That's what I thought.
I frown as he slides the smaller bag over my shoulder. Will you at least tell me where we're going?
Do you know what zitzol means in my tongue?
He tightens the bag's strap before marching off.
Beautiful girl who asks far too many questions.
Hours pass in silence as we ride on the back of Rowan's chitana. The jungle humidity leaves us first, followed by the mountain rock. We gallop across the Opeoluwa plains, heading north from the sanctuary. I hook my chin over Rowan's shoulder,
lifting my face to the biting winds.
"Can you please tell me what we are doing?" I yell.
"I see no point,"
he shouts back.
"Can you at least tell me if it's legal?"
"Zitzol, I never ask you all these silly questions."
I roll my eyes and bury my face into his back. Forget it. It doesn't really matter. The farther away we get from the sanctuary, the better I can inhale. Mazeli's absence doesn't strangle every breath. Beyond those walls, I can think of more than his death. As we ride, I savor the break, not knowing when it will come back. I wonder if Rowan always feels like this, unshackled from the weight of the world, from all that he's lost.
"Here we go."
I lift my head as Rowan pulls on the reins of his chitana. We stop along a thin stretch of the coast, meters before a rugged shore. Black waves crash against the shallow bluffs, foaming over the smooth and glassy rocks. The silver moon casts a path down the rippling water, beckoning me to come in.
"What's going on?"
Rowan takes both bags and walks across the shore, guided by the rays above. A wind-powered boat sits anchored against the coast, filled with more supplies.
"How far are we going?"
"Again with the questions,"
Rowan clicks his tongue.
"It doesn't matter. Get in."
Though I don't trust him, the prospect of the sea is far too great to pass up. The last time I saw the shore, we were racing from Zaria's sands. My body itches to float above the rocking water. It only takes a few moments before we're off. The boat's hum intertwines with the crashing waves as we sail. I close my eyes and inhale the salt-filled air. I forgot how much I missed the sea, how close it made me feel to Baba. Rowan steers us until the coast is only a speck on the horizon. The wind turbine shuts.